All right, well, it is my honor to introduce my dear friend, Josh Wieger. He's going to be our speaker today. He works at Global Strategy for Church of God Ministries. He's going to tell you probably more about what Global Strategy is, I assume. But Global Strategy is our international outreach, or just kind of our opportunity to look at all of our missionaries. They're the ones who kind of keep our eye on globally what's happening in the Church of God. They have this wonderful phrase that I love. It's on my t-shirt, but it's walking alongside the local church globally. And so they're really big on saying, like, you know, God is at work in all of these places in the people who live there. And while we love our missionaries and missionaries serve a really important role, we want to go to people in their home countries and support them to do work with their people. Josh is going to talk a little bit about and give some updates about what Global Strategy is doing, what God is doing all around the world, and kind of just like give us some cool stories and hear from people all around the world. So if you guys would welcome Josh up on stage.
Awesome, thank you. Yeah, it is. Man, it is so good to be with you. I actually have attended here before and have always felt just a resonance with you and the work you're doing here, because I can see God at work and alive here through you and in you. And so I just wanted to start with that this morning. Be encouraged. God is alive and at work in you. There is great hope in this space. There is great presence in this space. Thank you so much for welcoming me this morning. Again, my name is Joshua Wieger. I want to introduce some of the most important people in my life. This is my family. And this is actually a picture from 2015. Now, if you're any Star Wars enthusiast in the house, I don't know, but I was some random pilot, I don't know. My wife was, this was when, like, Rey was a big thing in the Star Wars universe. And, of course, we have little BB-8, that's my son Dallas. And then my daughter is rocking an R2-D2 tutu. I mean, come on. So in 2015, this picture was actually taken in Berlin, Germany. We had moved to Berlin in 2015 because my wife, we joined the Global Strategy family, joined the Europe and the Middle East missions team there. My wife specifically was working with an organization called Pink Door, which helps get women out of sexual exploitation and prostitution. And they had a safe house there that they were just getting off the ground. And so my wife was doing work there. I got to live in Berlin, but my work was regionally. We have churches in 16 countries that we work with across Europe and the Middle East. And so I got to do leadership development with those churches and really try to bring the young leaders together all across the region. Go ahead and throw up that next picture. This is a picture of, that's a picture within a picture. Look at there. Huh. I don't really know what, I think that's my fault. I'm pretty sure that's my fault. Anyway, this, aren't they cute, you guys? So this is 2019 is when we came back to the States. There's a whole story there, a whole longer story there. But this is their baptism Sunday. Y'all, serious, as a dad, this is a good day. It's a good day. And then there's one more picture of my family. This is them. They've changed a little bit since those days. So this is my wife, Audrey, my daughter, Emma, who is about to turn 13. Crazy. And my son, Dallas, who looks like he's about 16, but he's only 11. And so we're actually in front of the Reichstag. This picture was taken just 2 months ago in December. We got to take our family back to Berlin to see our friends and experience the community which we lived in. It was a beautiful, beautiful time where our kids got to remember some of the things and places we lived. But it was a very special time. Berlin holds a very, very special place in our heart. If you've ever been, I would love to talk to you after the service, and we can chat about Berlin a little bit. But they're, yeah, just so important. We're back in Anderson now. I work for Global Strategy in the main office. And as Emily mentioned, we are the global arm of the Church of God in the U.S. and Canada. So if you know anything about the structure of the Church of God, each country around the world, and I'll tell you a little bit about them in a minute. They govern themselves. So we are not sitting in a place in the U.S. where we go to the places where we have churches and we tell them what to do. Instead, we work in partnership with those countries, with those places, to say, we see God at work and alive in your midst. How can we walk alongside the work that God is doing among you? And it's not just a one-way relationship where we're pouring into them, but they get to pour into us as well. And we try to be the bridge between churches around the world and churches in the U.S. and Canada, like you. Here at Meridian, and I'm so excited again to be here this morning. As I was preparing and you can go ahead and throw that next slide up there. I'm just going to get distracted by seeing those beautiful faces. As I was preparing for our time today, I was drawn to the book of Ephesians. And I was actually weeping as I was rereading my sermon this morning, because of what's happened the last few days and where I think Holy Spirit was taking us, even weeks and weeks ago as I was preparing for this Sunday, I think this passage from Ephesians speaks specifically to us today about a beautiful reality of the kingdom. And I'm really excited to draw you in. So we're going to be in Ephesians. And I think this ties directly into what I heard Pastor Daniel talking about his Greece trip earlier, and how context and the people that these books were written to really matter, right? And so the book of Ephesians was written to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a huge city situated in one of the main trade routes of the Roman Empire. And Ephesus was the seat of many of the Roman gods that they would worship. And you can read all about that actually in Acts chapter 19. If you're taking notes, write that down. You can go check that out in Acts chapter 19. Paul had a really fruitful 2-year missionary journey in Ephesus. Years later, after Paul had been imprisoned by the Romans, Paul wrote this book that we know of as the book of Ephesians. And it's really separated into two sections, the book of Ephesians. The first section, chapters 1-3, is all about the gospel coming alive through grace. Now, if you've experienced grace, you know that things bubble up and come alive when you really let grace take hold in your life. Chapters 1-3 talk about how we are to be a new multi-ethnic family of believers that live in peace. Now, what a beautiful picture of what the kingdom of God can be. That we can be a multi-ethnic family of believers living in peace. I actually read this in chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. It says, instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, does that sound familiar to anybody right now? He created a new kind of human being. A fresh start for everybody. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace. And then that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals so we all may be equal. Through him we share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. So this was all in the first section of Ephesians where it's talking about grace coming alive and boiling up. And then there's this big therefore as it transitions into the second half of Ephesians. And that's where we want to sit today as we read this passage that's up on the screen. So hear these words about the gospel coming alive. The therefore of grace. It says, in light of all of this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. You know what? Better yet, run on the road that God has called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around in your hands. I don't want any of you strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline. Not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert and noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel the same road in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is to be permeated with oneness. Whoo! Paul was preaching to his people, huh? What an inspiring passage of scripture. Don't just walk, better yet, run on the road that God has called you to travel. Paul goes on in the book to talk about how unity does not equal uniformity. How unity does not equal uniformity. And today I'm challenged by this call to run the road that God has called us to travel as a church, as a community, as individuals, to compel others to do the same, to run with us, to do so with humility and discipline and peace, steady, pouring ourselves out for one another in acts of love. The reality for us is that we live in a very global world. We live in a world that is greatly interconnected. And in particular, we here, can I say we here? I think I can. We here at Meridian Church of God, we are part of a bigger body of believers around the world. And I want to encourage you about what is happening, as Emily said earlier, what the work that God is doing around the world and how you are a part of it. And so go to the next slide, if you don't mind. We, as the Church of God, are present. Did you say, hear that again? We, Meridian, we, the Church of God globally. We are present in 90 countries around the world. Everywhere you see green on this map is a country where we have a Church of God presence. Hey, friends. We're present in 90 countries around the world. This is something to celebrate. In fact, if you look at the next slide, the Church of God globally is far larger outside the United States than inside. We in the United States only make up a quarter of the Church of God globally. In fact, Africa, our African brothers and sisters on the continent of Africa, make up 36% of the Church of God. That is something to rejoice about, something to celebrate. One of the things that I want to encourage you in today, and you can go to that next slide, is that the church globally is much larger and not U.S.-centric. You might say, well, didn't the U.S. send missionaries to all of these places to start the church? That is not our story, actually, in the Church of God. Let me give you a few dates that for you history buffs out there. In 1881, the Church of God officially began in the United States. In 1891, the church in Mexico began, the Church of God in Mexico. In 1982, it was the church in England. In 1896, the church in India. In 1901, the church in Germany. In 1902, the church in Russia, which happened to be founded by German missionaries that went to the church in Russia. In 1905, it was Bermuda. In 1906, Trinidad. Then Jamaica and Japan in 1907 and 1908. And then in China in 1909. It wasn't until after, in 1910, when global strategy actually began. After all, the Church of God had already been formed in all of those places. What I'm here to say today to you is, in fact, that God is working around the world and has been working many, many years before we even got ourselves together, before we even formed ourselves. We are not a baby church globally anymore. And in fact, many of the places where we have churches that we partner with are asking, how can we send missionaries to other places? And so we get to be a part of that at Global Strategy. We get to walk alongside the local church globally. We have about 55 global personnel in about 20 countries around the world. And we also have about 50 development projects in about 25 countries around the world. God is at work. We walk alongside the local church globally, and we support churches that are locally led and sustained, regionally connected, and missionally engaged. You can go to that next slide. We are joining in the work that God is doing. We are not crusaders carrying Jesus on our back. Jesus goes with us. But I want to tell you today that Jesus is already there at work. And we are forever changed by partnering and being in relationship with those churches. My dear friend, Pastor Steve Wimmer, said this. He said, "We've sent missionaries for so long and need to start asking more about what do we need to learn from the churches that we partner with globally." I think that's true. I think our relationship is reciprocal. And I think that we have so much to learn from the church globally. I want to go back and teach just for a minute about these three things. So we support churches that are locally led and sustained. How important is it for us to develop leaders and for us to cultivate a church that can be self-sustaining? Because there's things that happen even in our country that might limit the amount of support that we can send. Right now, we have a huge issue about sending people globally because of visa restrictions for U.S. citizens. We have a huge issue about sending finances globally because of banking restrictions and things that have happened inside of our own infrastructure. And so we want to make sure the church is able to exist outside of our support. How important is that? I want to give you an example of this, and you can go to the next slide. These are some of my friends. Of course, I'm on the left. And then you have Andrew Rabine. He's a pastor in Oklahoma. And then John Johnson is one of our missionaries that serves the church in Africa, the church in the countries in Africa where we have Church of God congregations. And then we have Corey Stocksdale, who's a missionary in Botswana with us. These guys, we were able to meet in Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe is one of four countries where there is a lot of oppression on the church. Specifically, what's happening is that the government is cracking down on who is allowed to meet as a church body. And it's great things when you hear about it. They say the pastor has to have a degree, and you have to have a church building, and the church building has to have so many parking spaces, and the church building not only has to have parking spaces, but it has to have a certain type of bathroom. Well, in Zimbabwe, our churches, we have about 50 churches that we work with in Zimbabwe, and there are no buildings that they meet in. In fact, each of the churches meet underneath large trees. And so they're working with the government and all these government regulations that are coming to them. And they're saying, what are we to do? You can go to that next slide. So this is one of our churches. You can't quite see him, but right in the middle, there's a guy with a clerical collar on. His name is Reverend Gooney. And Reverend Gooney carries the heart of his people. Anybody see a familiar color up here? Their church color in Zimbabwe is purple. And over the last 5 years, they have dealt with flooding and drought and flooding and drought. And what has happened is that cholera has been an incredible disease that has come through because of that flooding and drought and because of toilets not actually being dug the proper way to account for the flooding and the drought that has happened. And so the church in Zimbabwe, again, who meet all under trees, don't own any buildings, said, how can we be the church to our communities where we operate? And so they had this idea. What if we were to create pit latrines that were flood resistant and able to dig boreholes so that clean water might be a part of the communities where we operate? And so they partnered with us, and they pooled their own money, and they were able to create about 40 latrines across the country in the 50 places where they had churches, so that their people, but not only their people, their communities could have access to clean water and have a safe and clean place to go to the bathroom. Cholera has now come down. What I love about this pit latrine project is that every single one of these pit latrines is painted in purple. So the church in Zimbabwe, their best billboard is a latrine. And there have been hundreds of people who've come to the faith because of these pit latrines, because of these boreholes that have come up into these communities. But the church in Zimbabwe is facing a real issue right now with the government regulations that have come around. In fact, the church in Zimbabwe, they have these active congregations. They are not allowed to do any funerals or weddings because they don't have a building. And so they came to us and said, look, you know, we are a poor country. We're poor people. We are pooling our funds as much as possible. But would you walk with us in buying a piece of property and building a piece of land, building a structure on this land that meets government regulations so that we can exist as a church body? Because all these young people kept coming up and then they wanted to be married. And because our churches couldn't do that marriage, they left the church. They went and found another community. Go to the next slide. And so just about a year ago, we helped the church in Zimbabwe, and I say we because you are part of we, again, but also there's other churches like the church in Pryor, Oklahoma, and the church in Kansas. The Church of God has really wrapped around these leaders, Reverend Gooney and the church in Zimbabwe, and helped them purchase their first plot of land. Now, I love this picture because what you see on the bottom right there is a stone, which is the property marker or the cornerstone of their new property in Zimbabwe. What you're not seeing in this is that in the last 3 weeks, a fence has been erected around the property, and there is work to create a borehole on the property so that they can start construction of their building. Friends, the church is alive in Zimbabwe. The people are beautiful, the country is beautiful, and God is working through the local leaders to create sustainability and to reach people with cool glasses of water in Jesus' name. We support churches that are locally led and sustained. We also support churches that are regionally connected. Regional connection is vital for church health, sustainability, and accountability. The U.S. is a long way away from many of these churches. Even to get to the church in Zimbabwe, I flew from Indianapolis to Atlanta, Atlanta to Joburg, Joburg up to Zimbabwe. The flight from Atlanta to Joburg was like 15 hours. All right, so we're a long way from the church in Zimbabwe. You know who's not a long way from the church in Zimbabwe? The churches in Botswana. The churches in South Africa. And so we have helped to cultivate connection across the region. I want to tell you another picture of what this looks like, and you can go to the next slide. This is a picture of something that we call 3WLN, the Three Worlds Leadership Network. Remember how I told you we moved to Berlin so that I could work with young people? Well, this is one of the products of what I got to work on. So we have churches in 16 countries across Europe and the Middle East, and we said, what would it look like for us to bring together the young people, the young leaders in particular, of those churches in 16 countries? And so we began to meet in Switzerland. And Switzerland isn't a place that we have a large Church of God presence. And so it was a neutral location. And it was one of the places across Europe and the Middle East where visas were more readily available at the time. And so we gathered the people. And I remember the first night in this very room, sitting in the back of the sanctuary and hearing our worship being sung in seven languages. And I had a thought. I did that first. And then I had a thought. And that thought was, what a clear picture of heaven. Where we are the multi-ethnic body of believers that can come together around the grace of God in one spirit, in one faith, in one baptism, and praise the Lord together. Now, what we didn't expect to happen, that did happen, is that the churches around the region that came together and got to know one another started to visit one another. And so the church in Hungary went to the church in Bulgaria and encouraged the believers there. The church in Germany went to the church in Birkenhead, right outside of Liverpool, and encouraged the believers there. In fact, when the Ukraine war started, there was a number of churches that began to take in people from the Church of God in Ukraine as refugees, and were able to house them. And now we have thriving Ukrainian congregations in Hungary, in Bulgaria, and in Germany. It's a beautiful thing when we can be the multi-ethnic body of Christ. Go to the next slide. Yeah. So this is actually a picture of 3WLN that just happened in the fall. I think what a beautiful, beautiful example of what the kingdom of God is like. There's people in this in this picture from the UK, from Spain, from Italy, from Lebanon, from Paris, even some Americans scattered around this picture. It is beautiful and it's so helpful to the local church when they are connected regionally together. So we support, again, churches that are locally led and sustained, regionally connected, and missionally engaged. Now, I started by kind of giving you some hope and telling you what I see in you. I see the hands and feet of Christ reaching out from your doors, and even I felt so welcome this morning. Our churches around the world are beginning to really grasp what does it mean for us not to just receive support, but also work missionally where God has planted us. The church must engage their community in these spaces. And it begins with understanding community. I, as an American, can go to a place and begin working, sure. But how much more beautiful is it when I can go to a place in a different country and create a relationship with someone who knows the language, knows the community, knows the cultural context, knows even what it means when I say things that maybe I shouldn't say that might be interpreted incorrectly. I mean, how beautiful is it when the people of God are missionally engaged in their own community? Go to that next slide. So you can kind of see it, but this is a picture of the South American continent. And the pin mark, the red mark up here, is a place called Itaituba, Brazil. Now, Itaituba is a little bit difficult to get to as well. How you get there is from here, you would fly to Miami, and then from Miami to Manaus, Brazil, and then you'd get on a real small plane that only flies twice a week, and you would go, you would literally take off and fly 2.5 hours into the Amazon rainforest. And we have a large Church of God presence in a place called Itaituba, Brazil. Itaituba sits right on the Amazon River, in the middle of the rainforest. And the church there has grown. They have a health clinic. They're doing all these great and wonderful things. But for years and years, and this just happened just a couple weeks ago, actually last week, for years and years, Carnival was the thing that you did in last week's time every year. Huge party scene, think Mardi Gras, but just a little bit different. And for years and years, the church in Itaituba would take all of their young people and send them out of the city to protect them from Carnival. There's a lot of drunkenness that happens in Carnival, a lot of things that may be a little risky that's happening during Carnival. And so the church would isolate their young people, send them out of the city, and protect them. Okay, that's interesting in theory. That's good in theory. They did this for years and years and years. About 8 years ago, the church said, we're tired of giving over the rest of our young people in our city over to Carnival. So what would it look like, not if we send all of our young people away, but what would it look like for us to create a cultural event here in the city that could be a Carnival alternative? And so they created this thing called Desperta. You can go ahead and click this. So again, we're talking about a church on the Amazon River in the middle of the Amazon rainforest that had this idea to create a music festival in their city. And so they began to host it, and they've hosted it for almost 8 years now. And this year they had more than 600 people register for their 5K alone. They had more than 300 people from outside the city come from 18 different cities. They had 218 people make declarations of faith in Jesus for the first time. Now, one of the things I love about Desperta, and Desperta is the Portuguese word for awaken. One of the things I love about Desperta is that after year two of this alternative to carnival, the city said, we are no longer going to host official carnival activities in the city, but we're going to support your music festival. So when a church decided to be missionally engaged, instead of withdrawing, instead of sending them their young people outside the city to protect them, when they decided to be missionally engaged, the culture changed. Friends, the church is alive. God is doing many great things. One of the things I love about Desperta is that those 218 people who made declarations of faith, the very next morning, teams from the local church in Itaituba went to their house to meet with them, to make sure that they were connected to small group, because they recognize it's not just about a declaration of faith, but it's about being engaged and connected to community. This is actually a picture of one of the social outreaches that happened during Desperta. It's amazing. They list every chapter in the Bible during Desperta, and you can come and literally read a chapter and mark it off. And as a people, as a Desperta, they read the Bible three times over the course of the week together. They also create these food bags. And so this year, they sent, 160 food bags were distributed, and 23 families from the church went to the city dump where people live, like the downcast of the society, and they were able to engage and bring food and goods. Because again, when we bring cold glasses of water in Jesus' name, grace abounds. And so it's beautiful to see the church on mission. Can you see it this morning? Can you see how the church is alive? Do you hear how you are a part of what God is doing around the world? Not just here in Indianapolis, but literally in 90 countries around the world, you are part of our walking alongside the local church globally. Now, with these stories in mind, I want to read this passage from Ephesians 4 one more time. And so hear this. In light of all of this, therefore, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road that God has called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do it with humility and discipline. Not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences, locally and globally. You were all created to travel on the same road. And I'm going to say, we were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together. Both outwardly and inwardly, we have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything we are and think should be permeated with oneness. Let's pray. God, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that you trust us to be your people here in Indianapolis and around the world. Father, thank you for leaders like Reverend Gooney and for the church in Brazil and the church in Europe and the Middle East. God, we ask today that you would strengthen and empower them. Father, may we learn from our brothers and sisters around the world to learn about what it means to live in grace and humility and oneness. Father, give us the courage to step out in faith to be your people. In your name, amen.